Good morning. You're listening to a new program that WWGH is going to carry, and we're calling it temporarily A Progressive Life. I'm Glenn Coble, and I'll be the moderator of A Progressive Life. And I'm so new at this, I'm just trying to make sure you can hear me. Now you can hear me, I guess. Anyway, again, I'll mention the name, A Progressive Life. And I just finished running for office as the state representative here in the 86th District. I did not win. I am a progressive, and there weren't very many progressives in all of Ohio that won. Matter of fact, it was kind of odd that every vote that was cast, I mean, each candidate got about somewhere between 30 and 40, Democratic candidate got somewhere between 30 and 40 percent, and the Republican candidates all received somewhere around 60%. So it was kind of odd how even it was that way, but it basically told those of us who are progressive that Ohio is not. it was not a good morning for me a week ago. Oh, well, I guess it was last Wednesday morning. But I was pretty certain of what was going to happen, and I did not find myself crying in my pillow or anything like that. So we finished up the day, and I knew I was going to do this show whether I won or lost because I was invited to do it by Scott, and I really enjoyed the idea of being able to talk to a progressive audience, or for that matter, a not progressive audience. I'm thrilled to hear from people that disagree on subjects. Now, one of the rules is no making up facts. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to say I don't know the answer. And that's kind of the way I ran my campaign. If I didn't know an answer, I just told them right outright, I don't know the answer to that. I did do a lot of studying, so I knew a lot of answers, but I didn't know them all. So, or at least I didn't have a strong opinion about it in my own position. So that's the way I intend to run this show. And I hope you enjoy it. We're going to talk about all sorts of things. What I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about, tell you who I am. That way you'll be more educated on why I feel the way I do. So I have written a memoir, and I'm going to start at the beginning of my memoir and try to take you all the way through my life. And this morning, I thought what I'd do is give you a from 40,000 feet up bio of myself and things that I have done. And then we'll start the next show with when I was a little guy. I can remember back to about the age two plus. And the reason why I remember that is I took the emergency brake off my dad's 39 Ford and got in the car, took the emergency brake off, not knowing what it was. And I rolled out through the door. And when I say through the door, I mean through the closed door. And down the driveway and smashed into the side of the parsonage, which my father was a minister, so we lived in the parsonage. And the next thing I remember is my grandmother picking me up and lots of wailing and yelling and that sort of thing. So I remember from about the age 2 and a half on, and I'll talk to you about some of the things that some of the choices I've made and why I've made some of those choices. I want to wish everybody a happy Veterans Day. Yesterday, I believe, was the actual Veterans Day. But they celebrated on Monday. So all of you that work in, I believe, in government services and most banks that I know of, I used to work at a credit union, so I'm certain that they have the day off, and most governmental offices have the day off. Have a good day. It's not very warm out there. I was lucky. I got I have a little tiny trailer. I happen to be retired, so my wife and I decided that we'd buy a little trailer and we'd drive places and camp. And I had to make sure I had it pretty well weatherized this past week, because I knew it's going to break really cold, and it has. If you stepped outside, it's cold. Kind of what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a little bio. I'm going to try and talk about the progressive life and what progressive people feel. And you may or may not agree with it. One of the things I heard this morning on the news as I was getting ready to come down here is that there are 45,000 veterans who have not been paid what they are owed for, I believe, last month or maybe even 2 months. And they're waiting for their money because the Veterans Administration is kind of slow in its process. And I can tell you, I gave up. I was a veteran, and I did have a minor disability after I got out. Nothing that would slow me down, but it was a minor one. And I hoped that I would get some medical service for it. I was living in Athens when I got out, after I got out, and went to the Veterans Administration there and hemmed and hawed, and we never did get anything done until just before I moved up here. They did find, and it had been about 2 or 3 years. Oh, no, it had been longer than that. But anyway, they did say they would help me out, but I was on the move to Marion. When I got up to Marion, I went to the Veterans Administration. They told me to go to another building. I went to the other building. They took my information, and that's the last I've heard from the Veterans Administration. I have no complaints. I don't deserve anything more than anybody else. I'm perfectly healthy. Well, I hope I am. And my moderate injury is, I've learned to live with it. Anyway, I do believe that we ought to stay on top of our Veterans Administration because of that 45,000 vets waiting for money that's owed them. Some of them, and they were talking this morning, some of them have bills that they can't pay, and they're going to be either thrown out of a house or their car is going to be repoed. That's just not the right way to treat our vets. I'm not one to cry that I'm a vet. Matter of fact, I hardly tell anybody that I'm a vet because my job as a veteran was pretty simple. It was during the Vietnam War, but I, along with three other young men, or two other young men, were lucky enough to audition for the United States Army Field Band, which is out of Washington, D.C. There are two Army bands, the Army Band and the Army Field Band. And the only difference is field means you go out in the field. The Army Band stayed in Washington, D.C. We traveled, did a lot of gigs in Washington. As a matter of fact, I even marched in the inaugural parade for Nixon playing a clarinet. And that's a story I'll tell you later. Since I don't play clarinet. The three of us were auditioned, and we were accepted to be a folk trio with the United States Army Field Band. They were looking for a group that would appeal to the younger people, and we apparently were the group. And so I spent my three years in the United States Army Field Band. It was a good gig. We did travel. We were supposed to go to Vietnam in our first tour. As I got there, that's what they told me as I signed my name to get into the field band barracks. They said we were going to Vietnam. Now, we would have gone with Bob Hope. So there wasn't a whole lot of fear or anything, but it still would have been Vietnam. And an offensive started, and the Hope group decided not to go at the time, and we couldn't make it when he went later, so I didn't go to Vietnam. We did go to some countries. We went to Central America and South America, and did a lot of playing in those two areas. I think the farthest south we went was Quito, Ecuador, which meant I did get to go across the equator. That was kind of interesting. We had no big thing because we were flying military airplanes, so we didn't have any special celebration for crossing the equator. Anyway, I thought I would talk to you this morning about what progressive means to me. Progressive is not, a lot of people have taken it now as a dirty word or a word of antagonism against people that are more on the right side of the aisle. I don't find myself that way. My father, like I told you, was a Methodist minister, and I was brought up that way. I truly try to follow the New Testament teachings of Jesus. I'm not much of a religious person, but I believe that if I follow the New Testament teachings of Jesus, I will be a good person, and that's what I try to do. Sometimes I'm better at it than others. Progressive people want to move forward. The opposite of that is reactionary people, and reactionary people want to go back to the good old days. The good old days will never come again, as far as I'm concerned. The good old days weren't as good as people talk about. If you stop and think about all the health advancements we've done, and that is progressive, all the health advancements that we've done have made us live longer, have given us more hope, have allowed us to do a lot more things. Just look at the IT world now. You can say a lot of bad things about the IT world, but it certainly has enabled us to be more productive in lots of different fields. If you stop and think about it, some of the progressives that we follow right now, Barack Obama, no matter what you feel about Barack Obama, was a progressive moving forward rather than backward. Just the fact that he was the first black man as a president is a progressive move. Before him, John Kennedy, who decided that we needed to get to the moon before the end of the decade, which was the 60s, he was a very progressive president. FDR, obviously, with the New Deal and everything, was probably the hyper-progressive president in the United States, probably of all time. And Lincoln was obviously progressive with his Gettysburg Address and the abolishment of slavery, and that all moved forward. If you go back even further than that, you can go back to Thomas Jefferson, who authored most of the Declaration of Independence, which was a forward-thinking document. Prior to that, King John, who developed the Magna Carta, Joan of Arc, who was probably the first woman's liber in the world and died for it, farther back than that, not farther back, but before that, Michelangelo, who brought along art and science and just about every endeavor in the world at that time, he was helping move forward rather than backward. At the time that certain church members were trying to hold the world back, and in that time, there was a lot of struggle for power through the church. Prior to that, you can go to Jesus Christ, who was obviously a progressive. He wanted to to help the people that needed help. He wanted to move the current or the government, which was the Roman government at the time. He wanted to move them in a forward-moving way, which was very difficult. Wanted to move people in a forward-moving way. All you have to do is read the parables or the New Testament's teachings of Jesus to see how progressive he was. And you can even go back to 64,000 years before now, when the first person discovered how to use fire. That person was a progressive, too. If he had sat back and said, no, I'm not going to touch that. It's hot, and I'm not going to do anything with it. We'd probably be sitting around trying to figure out how we're going to cook our steaks. Anyway, that's kind of what the progressive brain goes through. It's a brain that says we have to move forward. If we move back or stay the same, we are going to be doomed. And I believe that's the way I have been brought up. My father, like I said, was a Methodist minister. He was chastised for his civil rights initiatives and marching with civil rights workers. He was fair. I would say he was quite progressive. He was condemned by the John Birch Society as a communist because he was a member of the Council of Churches at the time. They thought that was a communist conspiracy. Anyway, that's kind of the reasons why I think the way I do. My mother, both my father and mother were highly educated. My mother, I believe, went to Wellesley, and my father went to Butler in Indianapolis and Boston University in Boston and Harvard. So I had a good upbringing. Unfortunately, I didn't get the brain power that my father, mother, brother, and sister did have. I was kind of a low man on the totem pole. I think they ran out of brain cells by the time they got to me. But that's what I was molded by, people of pretty high intellect. Let's just take that 40,000 mile view down on what my life was all about. As a little guy, I mentioned I was a minister's kid. I told you about my incident with the 39 Ford. I remember things like one of the nightmares I had probably my first 10 years of life was I lost a helium balloon that floated up in the air, and I still remember screaming at my mother, get a letter, get a letter, we've got to get it back. Well, we couldn't get it back, obviously. I don't know how many kids have done that, but probably a lot. We moved from Crawfordsville, which was where my father was had his church. He was actually, before I was born, he was a circuit rider. Kind of ages me, but he was a circuit. He had two or three churches that he ministered to. When we went to Crawfordsville, Dad was the minister of the, I think it was First Methodist Church in Crawfordsville, and also an English professor at Wabash University. So I was also brought up not saying ain't and using the correct verb with the correct, all the different words that you have to use correctly. We moved from Crawfordsville to South Bend, Indiana, where my father was at St. Paul's Methodist Church in South Bend, Indiana. And my brother and sister, my sister was 10 years my senior. My brother was 8 years my senior. Both have passed away, and so is my mother and father. So I'm the oldest member, actually, of the Coble clan right now. We went to South Bend. I went to a little school called Colfax. I was an athlete and not so much a scholar. We really enjoyed South Bend St. Paul's Church. Lots of wonderful people. I still remember a lot of them. As a matter of fact, one of the ministers that followed my dad to St. Paul's And I'm just going to, I know he's probably not listening. He's 100 years old, Reverend Wolfe, a wonderful man. I loved him to death. He unfortunately is now in the care of hospice, but I hope he's doing as well as can be expected, and his children were all playmates of mine, and I remember them fondly. My father was on the fast track to become bishop of the Methodist Church, and we had to move after a while, and so I moved to three different high schools while I was at South Bend for two high schools, South Bend Central, which was the inner city school, and which, by the way, I'll talk to you later about that. That was maybe one of the most molding experiences of my young life. And then we moved to another part of town where I went to a John Adams school. And then I went to, my father was made district superintendent, and we went to John Adams, and then we were moved over to the Valparaiso, Indiana district. And so I moved to the Valparaiso High School area, which was, it's about 45, 50 miles out of Chicago, maybe 15 miles outside of Gary. That's where I spent most of my youth, or my teen years. I was lucky enough to become a member of a folk trio, the Overland Singers. We cut a couple of albums, which at that time, cutting an album was a little different than it is now. And now anybody can cut their own album, but we had to we went through WGN to cut the final album, and they paid for it, and it was quite interesting. But that's what led to us all singing in the United States Army Field Band. We broke up for a brief period of time when I went away to college. I tried to play football at Butler. Wasn't very successful. I probably got more splinters than anything. I was lucky enough to get a scholarship to play football for a little bit, so that helped the family out. I stayed there for about a year and a half and realized that that was going nowhere. And I ended up after the service was over, I came back to Valparaiso, Indiana, with a new wife, Carol, who I'm still married to. And in 1 month and 10 days, it will be 49 years we've been married together, have three kids. We had a good life. I've also been, for a while, I was a manager of a Radio Shack. Actually, I was a manager of two or three Radio Shacks. When you're in the Tandy Corporation, they tend to move you if you do well. And I was lucky enough to do well in the three stores I was in. And the last time they wanted to move me to Detroit, Michigan, I didn't want to go to Detroit, Michigan. So I started sending out resumes and was lucky enough to be hired by DePaul University back in 78, I think it was. And 6 months later, I was lucky enough to be at the Final Four with my basketball team, playing against Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. And we came in third, lost to Larry Bird's team by, I believe it was 2 points. We had some really good players. We had a young man named Mark Aguirre, who was the number one draft pick, I believe, in 1980. I have a lot of stories I'm going to tell you about those times. I have stories I'll tell you about the coaches and about some of the people that hung around us. Then I moved on to Ohio University after about 5 years. I got the opportunity to go to Ohio University and be assistant athletic director down there. And I was there for about 12 or 13 years, had some terrific basketball teams when I was down there. Not so much football. Football was kind of the best year I had in football as an assistant athletic director was the first year. And that coach, who I liked as a man, he was a good man, and his first name was Brian, and I can't remember his second name. But anyway, I had to go and tell him to come to the athletic director's office to get fired. And that was a sad part of my job duties. That happened more than once. And I've lost friends because of that. I just had to do what I had to do. And so I spent 12 or 13 years at OU, enjoyed OU terrifically. I bet it's beautiful down there right now with all the color, and if it hasn't all fallen to the ground. But I think down there they're probably a little bit behind us as far as the changing of the colors. I met a lot of great people down there. And as most people realize, when you're in a university, or if you're in a university town even more, you are encouraged. Your progressive ideology is encouraged rather than discouraged. So it just enhanced the way I felt about life and how to treat people and how to move on. Everything good comes to an end, and especially when you're in athletics, you tend to get fired if you're in athletics. And sure enough, we got a new president, and he decided to get rid of a lot of the administration, and we were given a year to move on. And luckily enough, I found a couple of jobs. Actually, I found one job. It was quite interesting, and I'm not going to go into the name of the company or the person that hired me, but it was a job that was going to produce a stage play about Woody Hayes. I was really interested in it, and my job was to contact the alumni groups around the state of Ohio and interest them in supporting it. Well, after about 6 or 7 months, they decided that they didn't have enough money or interest to continue with that. And so the one and only time I was ever had the title of vice president, I lost it. We went on, I put a lot of effort into finding a new position, and was lucky enough to be hired right here in Marion at the Marion Community Credit Union. Enjoyed 12 years there, 12 or 13. And I still enjoy all the people I worked with there. They were wonderful people, still are. A lot of them still are there. And I do go in quite often, say hi. I've gotten so I really care for a lot of people here in Marion. Marion, however, is a lot different than a college town like Athens. It's definitely not what you would call a progressive town. It's more of a it's more of a right-sided town. It tends not to want to move forward. We're kind of stuck in a little bit of mud, as far as I'm concerned. And I would like to see us try to move forward, but obviously the voters in Ohio decided they did not want that, and that's why I lost, and dozens of other Democrats lost in this last election. One of the things I'd like to talk about in the weeks to come is thinking critically. One of our problems, one of the problems that all people have, is thinking critically. We tend to think more reactionary. We tend to be more... If you say something I don't like, I'm going to jump down your throat. It's been exacerbated by the movement of the internet and Facebook and all the different social media. People don't stop and think about what they're about to say. I criticize myself for the exact same thing. I try to be good at it, but occasionally I lose the control that I know I need to have. And thinking kindly about people helps. And that's one of the things I learned in politics. You have to think kindly. You have to assume the person that you're talking to, even if you disagree with them, is coming from an area of sincerity. They truly believe what they're saying. And the problems we're having right now with the current administration of the United States is there are so many mistruths, and I'm going to just call it as it is, there are so many lies that are being told, you don't know what to believe anymore. And lies tend to beget lies, which means that those that are disagreeing with you tend to lie back at you, because it's the only way you can defend something that is not true. The only way you can argue against something that's flat out a lie is sometimes by meeting a lie with a lie, and that just doesn't seem to be working for America right now. And that's another reason why I continue to be a progressive. I believe we need to get past this stage, whether it means changing presidents in 2020 or it means helping our government, our Congress and our Senate to understand that they are the government of the people, by the people, and for the people, not for a few of the elite or for the higher-powered people. The reason why I really cared about Barack Obama, and I know there are people out there that just turned the radio dial off, but the reason why I cared about him is he was a thoughtful leader. He didn't try to make stuff up. He tried to think his way through the problem and understand that he couldn't do everything for everybody, but wanted to be able to do the most good for the most people. And I think he did that. And sometimes he got criticized from the left because he wanted to do the most for the most. He did get criticized, I know, by some of my liberal friends for maybe being a little too soft. That's another part that I would like to go over maybe in future programs, is that being progressive doesn't mean you're soft. And a lot of my friends who are less progressive say to me, it's just a bleeding heart liberalism. It has nothing to do with bleeding heart. It has to do with empathy. It has to do with caring about people. But I think the people that feel that way need to know there are going to be times where you're going to have to stand up and you're going to have to fight for what you believe. If you truly believe that the poor should be have a better lot in life, then you have to go out and walk on the streets sometimes, or you have to tell people you believe that. Not be afraid to say, I think you're wrong for giving a tax break to the richest 1% and the corporations. We have to be able to say that and not say, oh, it probably wasn't a very good idea. No, it was a bad idea. Those of us who believe in being progressives need to also believe that you have to be strong progressive people. We have a person that, speaking of wanting to be strong, we had a person that left a message here about some of the problems that are going on down at the Board of Elections. And I'm going to see if I can contact this person, and we will get her on to give her her feelings. Now, this is going to be interesting for me because I'm not quite sure what I'm doing. So if you hear me scream for help, I'm calling into the other room. I'm not sure whether I turned it on. There, I turned it on. All right, we'll see if we can get through to this person. Her name is Connie, and Connie, if you're listening, I'm going to be calling you, and we will talk about what is going on down at the Board of Elections. Now I have to figure out how to dial it. I think it's calling now. We'll wait and see if we get through. Apparently, I'm not, I didn't do it right. I'm going to hang the phone up. And Connie, if you happen to be listening to the show this morning, if you want to give me a call, we'll talk about the situation that has gone on down at the Board of Elections. At this point, Sue and John, the two directors, have been asked to resign. I believe only Sue has been actually fired. I guess we're not going to get a call back on that. But anyway, if any of you have any further information on what's going on in that, we've heard talk that there will be a meeting tomorrow. Well, we thought it was going to be today, but it's Veterans Day, so I'm sure they won't have anything on Veterans Day. But if they are having a meeting, we'd love to hear from somebody to find out if they are, in fact, going to have that meeting. And if Connie thinks about it, she can give me a call, and we'll talk to her about that problem. Yeah, I went to one of the meetings before the election, went to one of the meetings, and there were a lot of very angry people trying to figure out what was going on with our Board of Election. And it's not a good time, right before an election, to have problems in the Board of Elections. So that happened. And I went there, I think it was about a two-hour discussion, and then they cleared it out, and I believe they went into executive session after that. Well, I can see I'm not going to get a call from Connie. I'm sorry, Connie. I haven't figured out how to use this, and maybe we'll give you a call next week when I'm sure I know how to make an outgoing call. Anybody that's interested in calling, we'd love to have hear from you, and I'm trying to see what my phone number is. Unfortunately, that's not a very good thing. I don't see my phone number. I will know that next Monday. How about that? I want to remind everybody that it is Veterans Day, and you should. I believe that that all the governmental offices are closed. I'm not sure about the. I'm not sure about all the banks, but I know that my bank was, or my credit union was closed. Thanks a lot, Scott.
You're welcome.
Scott gave me the number if you're interested in calling in to give me an idea of what's going on. 740-383-9944. You're listening to WWGH. And it's interesting, I didn't realize it, but that stands for, everybody has a W unless you're either very early or you're out on the West Coast. Everybody has a W before their radio name. And then WGH stands for Warren G. Harding, our president from Marion. Again, let me give you that number to call in. It's 740-383-9944. And I welcome anybody's call about anything for that matter. And I'm going to, I have my phone. I got to tell you a story. This morning, I woke up early so that I could print off some of the notes that I had so that I wouldn't be stumbling like I am right now. And my printer would not work. And I almost didn't get down here on time because I kept trying to figure out how to get my printer to work. So I got some work to do when I get home. One of the things that I've really struggled against when I was running for office is both the lying
that was being carried on by the current administration, the support that party was giving the liar, and also the fear that seemed to be generated of that administration. It seems to me like people are afraid to say anything back, and you can see why after the news report that he, well, the news, it really wasn't a news conference, but he did take, I guess it was a news conference. He took questions from people and then started calling people names and saying that they had dumb questions. And I really believe that trying to push fear on people, those of us who believe that we should be more progressive and more aggressive need to be able to fight back against that fear. Nice thing about getting older, I have lost that fear. Another nice thing about getting older, when I ran for office, I told myself, you will not lie about a single thing to anybody. If you don't know the answer, you'll say, I don't know the answer. And if you do have an answer for the question, you will answer honestly only. And I did that. I think I did that 100% of the time. I hate to admit this. It's probably against some sort of rule, but I'm proud of myself for being able to be honest to everybody. Now, I'm sure there were a lot of people that thought I was wrong, but I believed in what I was saying, and that's, if you believe in what you're saying and you say that, then you are telling the truth, and that's what I tried to do. Another problem that we have right now in our government is that money seems to be running everything. I was told when I started to run that I needed to raise $100,000 to run for state representative. Now, that's crazy. Maybe if I was in Columbus or Cincinnati or Toledo or Cleveland, I would have needed big money like that. I did it. I think I raised all of about $2,500 and a few hundred or a couple thousand from the Kobles ourselves, and that's what I ran on. Now, a lot of people will tell me, and that's why you lost, and it may be the reason why I lost, but I took a pledge early on, the NRA pledge. I took a pledge that I said I would not take money from the NRA. Not that I have anything against guns. I was a soldier. I have hunted. I have nothing against guns. What I do have is I would like to see us have a little bit more control over the guns that are legal. So that's obviously not the way a lot of Ohioans feel, and that's fine. That's why we have elections. I also believe that we take too much money from corporations. My opponent, and I'm not going to get into her name or what it was all about, but my opponent got $7,000 in what they call dark funds. And what dark funds means is nobody knows where that money came from. That shouldn't be, in my opinion, shouldn't be done. I also believe that Citizens United was probably the beginning of this race to nowhere in trying to get the most funds you can. I truly believe that there's got to be a way that our politics can be run with little or no money using public television, public broadcasting, maybe free space from local newspapers or minimal cost space. But we ought to be able to do it at a sensible level. And how many of you loved watching all the political commercials? Yeah, I saw one hand go up. there are no of those negative political commercials that my wife and I learned where the mute button was real quickly on our remote. She knew where it was because she remotes and mutes out all the medical ads, which are will make you sick if you listen to them. I'm a firm believer of that. But totally boring and sometimes obnoxious and sometimes just stomach turning. So I'd like to see us go back to having less and less commercial messages on both politics and also on medicine. I can remember a time when they weren't allowed to advertising medicine and the effects, and they weren't allowed to advertise lawyers or doctors, and now that has changed. And people would say, well, you're a progressive. You should think that that should be allowed. I think there are ways of allowing those organizations to say their piece or even promote their product without forcing all of us to watch it. And I know we're not forced to watch it. We can turn it off, and that's what my wife does. But it's still the majority of people just leave it on. Well, I'm getting a phone call from Philadelphia, which probably means it's somebody trying to sell me some sort of health insurance. That's also another area that I struggle to want to hear about. My wife and I are both of the age that we can qualify on Medicare, and we do, and we have an...
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs.
Now, how is this all going to end up? How many games are we going to play in this series?
I want to say six games. We gonna take it in six.
Indians.
4-6. So what do you think will happen when the Indians go?